are the adventures of Lonnie, the Brotherhood of Steel Scribe, Clark, the veteran mercenary, Pep, the gearhead racer, and Hazel, the traveling scholar. This is Rad Rules, a Fallout tabletop RPG.
Hello there. It's your substitute GM, Jared, here with a quick plug for an amazing product that I actually used in this session. So my name, Dr. J, isn't just for show. I am actually a licensed drug dealer, pharmacist. The use of healing items and medicinals in RPGs has been a fascinating ride during my career as both a medical provider and a tabletop enthusiast. And my recent purchase of the Herbalist Primer by Anna Urbanic and published by Exalted Funeral has been an absolute serendipitous experience. The Herbalist's Primer is a 360-page, hand-illustrated, system-agnostic resource that introduces magically inclined plants from around the world. Whether you're playing something high fantasy, post-apocalyptic, science fiction, or modern, the Herbalist's Primer has you covered with both fantastic and practical applications for all of the plants. For Rad Rolls, I introduced Bloodroot, one of 100 different species detailed in the Herbalist's Primer. You'll learn a little bit more about that in today's episode. If you missed out on the Herbalist's Primer Kickstarter, you can sign up to be notified of its summer release on exaltedfuneral.com.
Hey. You know, Clark does have 8 strength and melee weapons tagged and like 4 in melee weapons, so I would be up for a driving challenge.
Yeah, Pep also would be prepared for that.
So the question is like this character does not recognize them.
We just recognize the jumpsuit-ish kind of.
Yeah, you recognize, the jumpsuit. The person. You don't.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
You recognize the jumpsuits.
I'm just assuming this is a crazy person who's like lived at this golf course for way too long with this Mr. Handy and thinks they're like some god of golf.
In this silence, I would like to now show off my great powers. Because that's just the kind of person that Uncle Buck, the savior of the American people, is. I would like to utilize my laser vision to showcase to the broom. And maybe I'll hit somebody with it. I am unsure who.
Let's see.
Once you hit Willie.
You may not get... roll me a... I don't know. You're just kind of showing off. Like you're.
I am showing off, but I'm reckless.
Okay, you're doing this indiscriminately.
Laser vision is a medium range weapon. It's a lot like a. It's modeled after just a laser rifle.
Excellent.
It's a laser rifle that's attached to my eyeballs.
Okay, so thankfully, Pep is a little too close for this laser shot. And like Uncle Buck fires off these lasers from his eyes, and it basically goes over Pep's left shoulder. If Pep had been any further away, that would have been like bad news, but like it narrowly avoids Pep, and it's just kind of like a trace laser. Like it goes over the shoulder and kind of like Buck reflexively brings it over away to keep from hitting Pep. But Pep, that was a near-death experience that you just encountered.
So Pep's is like, it's an Assaultron disguised as a human.
Behold the power of America. This is the American soul coursing through my veins, through my eyeballs. None will stand in the way of America and everything that it holds dear. That's why I'm here at the golf course to play an old game of golf. I learned about this growing up. You take a ball and you hit it at gophers and kill them. It's great. I will now show my prowess in the game of golf to you all. everyone will behold my power.
Sure, go for it, Buck Rogers.
I think before anything like dangerous happens again, can I use my stim pack? Because like I'm still kind of close to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll heal up.
It's not a terrible idea. Yeah.
I'm just going to heal
four
health. Okay. I feel like that's it's prudent given what I just witnessed.
So for you to access any of the attractions, you have to go into the clubhouse. It's just like the clubhouse sort of leads to everything else here. The South Nylands Par 3 Professional Miniature Golf Course Clubhouse appears to have previously been a ticket office where visitors could purchase their day passes for one of the fun activities outside. Instead, the cash register has long since been ransacked. Behind the cashier station is a Miss Nanny, motionless on the ground but in nearly pristine condition.
So is there a list of services that they used to offer? Does it say what is available here other than the driving range and the long drive contest?
Well, there's the par 3 miniature golf course. Mm-hmm. There's the driving range. There's the pro shop. Mm-hmm. There is the bunker grill and bar.
Okay. I have the suspicion we should probably go to the pro shop first since we're here for equipment. And anything we might find we could possibly use if we need to.
Before we go, can I check out the Miss Nanny?
Yeah, sure thing.
Pep is curious about it.
So this looks almost like a... It's a Miss Nanny in very good condition. There's a few scratches and dings, something that you would expect out of a Miss Nanny or Mr. Handy after a few years of service. But it's in very good shape, all things considered. It's just, it's like offline.
I don't hardly know how to like turn it on.
Intelligence repair. Yeah. Intelligence repair, like difficulty one.
Okay. This is pep roll. I guess I can assist him. Attempt to assist him.
Intelligence and repair?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do a little assistance here.
I might just want to make your own roll. You'll get more dice.
Okay. So. Don't worry, I got this. I got this. Intelligence not great. Hair's not great. None of it's great.
Nope. Mm, damn.
Buck would like to try seeing these people work on the Miss Nanny. He's kind of like, this is American ingenuity right in front of me. And being the forefront of America, I would like to give this a shot.
Yeah. Intelligence repair, difficulty one.
Great.
Keep going.
Hey.
Here we go.
For whatever reason, I think this is like percussive therapy. You get frustrated with it like 15 seconds in, and you figure like, oh, like any other machine, if you just shit out of it for like a few seconds... And you give it one solid clunk in the back of like the bulbous head, and you can start to hear this Miss Nanny come to life.
Pep is going to give Buck the dirtiest look. Just the dirtiest look.
Buck is going to turn to Pep and just kind of like flare his eyes just like a little bit, like put a little bit of magic in there to kind of like, you know, face off.
Of course a robot knows how to fix a robot.
There's nothing. This is 100% pure American blood coursing through my veins. What is your name? I don't even know who you all are. You're here at my driving range. I'm clearly the pro. I am clearly the pro at this pro shop. And here I am fixing the things that you all look like you could do this all the time. I just punch it a few times and it works. That's how Americans work.
Honestly, Clark was going to kick it if we actually failed those. That was my next action was going to be to kick it really hard. Hello. So I'll clap Buck on the back and be like, "Hey, good job." I was just thinking the same thing.
I'm Mrs. Chipper.
Mrs. Chipper.
Yes.
No little Chipper around here, huh?
I was about to ask, is little Chipper still here?
We don't know. We just met Mr. Chipper, I'm guessing.
He doesn't feel like he's nearby. Is Mr. Chipper still alive?
What do you mean exactly by alive? Like he's still functional.
Yes. He is functioning?
He's functional.
Okay, yeah, just go ahead and unplug me again.
Are you sure about that?
I mean, if little Chipper's unaccounted for and Mr. Chipper's alive, yeah, I really don't want to deal with that.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. We'll unplug you if you can give us a little bit of a hint as to why you don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it because the person that programmed me decided that it would be real fun if I would have anxiety whenever I was away from my son.
Oh.
And then they decided to let my son have a larger wandering radius than I'm allowed to go out of. So I'm just sort of perpetually anxious, and it's really miserable. And the fact that I have to deal with my husband all the time, it's pretty miserable. So,
Sorry.
Yeah, and if that programming could be removed, that would be great. But the problem is I also can't leave the property because whoever programmed me decided that it would be really fun if I exploded into a bunch of pieces and killed whoever stole me. So I've got a lot going on right now, and I think I would much rather just sleep it off.
Honestly, I can't blame you for it.
Miss Chipper, is little Chipper is your...
Yeah, the programmer thought it'd be real cute if we had a son. He's just another Mr. Handy.
And you mean to tell me that you've been unplugged for how?
I don't know. The last person who came in here was kind enough to do it for me, so...
Mrs. Chipper, I hate to inform you, but child negligence is a crime here on American soil. And frankly, I can't stand for a crime in America.
Buck, I don't think you're helping her anxiety.
Yeah, you know what? I'm already feeling a little tense right now because he's outside of my radius of influence here. And this gentleman with the glowing eyes here, that he's not really helping me much. So is there someone here that could help me? Like, I don't know, like just... So I was programmed to feel these things. Maybe there's someone that can program me to not feel these things. That would be like real great.
I'd rather not explode. How do we deal with the exploding problem first?
Well,
and then we'll talk about making you feel good.
Yeah, so that's part of my programming and my geolocation. So if I go outside of a certain radius, outside of this geofence, I have about a 60-second delay before I explode. So that's way outside of the geo radius that I'm allowed to actually wander in, so I'd have to be forced out of that circle for it to actually happen. So I'm not going to blow up of my own accord. If you try to take me out of here, then I can't really guarantee your safety. But also, the further away I am from my son, the more anxiety I feel. I don't know why my programmer thought that would be a cute little addition, but it really upsets me, and I take solace in the fact that that asshole's probably dead now.
I think he's probably incredibly dead. So I'll tell you what, we'll shut you down for now. If we can do something about your programming, we'll be back, and do we have your permission to try and update your programming so that you're not... happier unplugged, basically?
Oh, God, yes, because this self-awareness is kind of crappy given the circumstances, so even a hard reset might be better. But I'm willing to try anything at this juncture.
Sure, sure. Okay, so for now, I'm gonna shut you down, and I hope I see you later.
Thank you for bringing me some peace.
You're welcome. And Hazel's gonna toggle the off switch, and then is going to try and get a look at the actual programming core of the robot.
Okay.
Hey, Buck, did you hear what I hear? Hard reset? Yeah. Seems like a quick way to go about solving the problem.
I could just chuck her into the atmosphere and the radius will just explode her and then she doesn't feel anxiety. Does that work for everybody?
I think that's surely too hard of a reset.
Even if we do a hard reset, clearly she has explosives inside of her. I don't want to mess with any bombs.
But I will save the day. That will happen if we do that
solution. I'm sure you will, Buck. For now, I'm gonna take a look at her. If you guys want to give me a little bit of room,
or y'all can take a look at the pro shop while she does that, because it might take a little while. Hazel, you do have the benefit of having a Pip Boy.
Yeah.
So you do have an interface that you can work with this thing. Make me a intelligence science difficulty 0 to interface.
Okay. Intelligence and science. Come on, baby. One success.
So you'll generate an AP, and you are able to... you'll generate an AP, and you're able to interface with this Mrs. Nanny... Or Miss Nanny device.
Okay. I was going to say, this is definitely not like a Mr. Gutsy, like military grade hardware. This is some programmers taking the piss out of probably somebody else because they somebody that they want to amuse. I would think it'd be easier to reprogram her than it would be to remove the explosives.
So she doesn't really have like inherent explosives. Like she's already a nuclear reactor, right? Like
right,
that's just
right.
How they work.
All you need is a feedback loop and
right.
Yeah.
So you are looking and you're somewhat familiar with Miss Nanny programming. And it looks like whoever did the programming on this sort of piggybacked their own sort of subroutines.
Mm-hmm.
One of the subroutines is like to, you know, be sort of like the happy housewife for right. these two, the Big Chipper and Little Chipper.
Right.
One of the subroutines is a it's sort of out of the box, like protect it like a perimeter that they don't want the robot to go out of. There's a subroutine that changes the behavior depending on the proximity of Little Chipper.
Okay.
And it's like the worried mother subroutine. And
right.
When you start to look at the logs, you realize that the AI in this Miss Nanny has been reacting to this so much that like she's starting to become self-aware. And getting anxiety because of this. And then last, there's a subroutine called Hands Off, which is basically once you leave a certain radius around the property, the Miss Nanny will self-destruct. And it looks like this has been copied and pasted from the Big Chipper and Little Chipper as well. So it seems like all of these machines have this, and it's just sort of like a theft deterrent.
Right.
It's all software based. To remove the worried mother subroutine, that's going to be a difficulty too. Intelligence science, and then it's also a difficulty too for the explosive routine. And you did have 4 AP from I just gave you, and then you generated one from the success for connecting.
Okay. So she's basically a sentient creature. So I am going to try and do what I can for her. First and foremost is to get rid of the source of her anxiety.
Okay.
And so, and I am going to use a luck point to give myself advantage on that.
So you can spend one AP to get yourself an additional D20, and then afterward you can spend a luck point to reroll.
Okay, so I'm going to use one AP so that I can roll three D20s.
Okay.
So intelligence and science?
Yes.
Okay, cross your fingers, guys. Three successes.
Three successes. So not only do you succeed, you generate an additional AP. So you are able to disable the subroutine that causes her anxiety when Little Chipper's out of her radius.
Okay. I am going to I'm going to try and fix the blow up if she leaves the area subroutine. Because we're on a roll here. And I am, once again, going to use an AP so I can roll 3d20s.
All right.
And three successes.
Three successes. So I think you're maxed out on AP. You're able to disable subroutine as well. Completely deleted. It's not even there as a potential issue.
So one last thing. Is there any way I can add a little bit, since I have a Pip-Boy, can I add a little bitty subroutine of my own?
What do you have in mind?
Well, the anxiety, solving the anxiety problem with her son. She's self-aware, and now hopefully the anxiety won't kick in when her son's not near her. Her proximity is no longer limited to where she is at the moment. I was thinking something along the lines of, I'm going to say, like a moving on up subroutine that she can find something better.
That is a difficulty zero.
Oh, okay. So I am going to give her the... enact her free will that she can decide whether she wants to stay with Big Chipper and Little Chipper here at the golf course, or if she has, if she sees somebody she would rather spend her time with, or even if she just wants to wander off on her own, that this is for either permanently or temporarily, she has the ability to, go wandering if she wishes.
Okay.
Or to choose her friends and associates, that she is not digitally chained to Big Chipper.
All right.
Since he seems to be mostly just obsessed with long drive golf.
Yeah. This difficulty zero. Science.
Okay. That's I'm doing that. Two D20s for that.
Yep. Crushed it.
Yeah, I'm naming the subroutine these
I like moving on up.
Moving on up is good. I was thinking these boots were made for walking, but technically she has thrusters. So these thrusters were made for moving on up.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yeah. I'm not good at this stuff.
would you like to turn her back on?
I would like to turn her now back on.
Okay. She boots up.
Oh, hello, Hazel.
Hi, Chipper. How are you feeling? Are you feeling a little bit better?
I feel like a new, well, I don't want to say person, but a new entity.
That's fantastic. So I didn't change any of your core programming, your... You know, your
guidelines.
Oh, good. So, yeah, it just basically means that you can decide what you want to do now.
Yes, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Okay, good for you.
Also, I took the liberty of looking at your Pip-Boy while you were doing that, and I believe we'll be going to Rising Sun Settlement now.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It does.
We could definitely use your help.
Excellent. I know the way, and I'm sick of this place, so I'll see you there.
All right, I'll see you there. I'll let little Chipper know that his mom is off on a sabbatical and not to wait up.
He's not going to care because his programming, just he's not aware. Won't even matter.
Fair enough. Okay. I would recommend you choose a different name for yourself.
I'll think about that.
All right. Then I'll see you at Rising Sun.
Let's see here. The South Island's Par 3 Professional Miniature Golf Course Pro Shop was once an organized shop filled with anything a golfer may need. It is now a disorganized shop with very few items missing. Strangely enough, very little about golfing is beneficial for the average wastelander. Dress polos, slacks, skirts, cleats, argyle, socks, hats, gloves, clubs, balls, tees, bags, you name it, it's probably in here.
I would like to look around for American flag print things.
yep. Let's see. Polos, slacks, skirts, cleats, argyle socks, hats, gloves, clubs. But yes.
Can I like find like a good set that's like an American flag polo, American flag shorts, and like I think a visor. Is like Buck would think a visor is very American and yeah. Very versatile to use, and that also should be American flag print.
Yes, you can pick out the equivalent of a full outfit.
Okay, great. Yeah,
you can dress yourself up. Anything that you would think that you could find in a golf shop, and I guarantee that you can find American flag print stuff here.
Oh dear God, help us.
That's great. I will do exactly that. And Buck kind of goes around and looks at the racks, pulls down kind of a American flag polo with the shorts. He puts on the socks. They're just over his vault suit. He didn't take off his vault suit. This just is like going on top of it.
Okay.
And he put on his visor, and like Buck has kind of a look of satisfaction on his face. Is what's above the pro shop? Is it just like ceiling? Is there stuff above it?
Yeah, like I would say that the pro shop probably has like a 20-foot ceiling. It was probably using like a fluorescent lighting or some equivalent to make mm-hmm. it seem a bit more spacious.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't even think it would have used. Well, I guess with the fluorescence. There probably was like a small layer of like drop ceiling, but the finished ceiling was probably like a foot above it. So,
all right. Buck would like to crouch, put his hand over his heart, salute, and Buck would like to fly up and punch through the ceiling to fly into the sky.
You do so.
Okay.
I mean, the ceiling hasn't been cared for in a good long while. The drop tile isn't going to pose any issue for someone punching through it. And a Uncle Buck size hole now exists in the ceiling.
And the thing I want to do is I want to look for Little Chipper. I want to see if I can find Little Chipper from my vantage point.
Yeah, sure thing. Make me a... Oh, let's call it perception plus survival. Difficulty one.
Okay. Perception plus survival, difficulty one. Go ahead and roll that.
All right.
There we go. Two successes.
Success. You see that Little Chipper is wandering around the outskirts of the Par 3 Professional Miniature Golf Course. Well, you see two Mr. Handys, basically. You see the one that's at the entrance of the clubhouse and pro shop, which was Big Chipper, and you see mm-hmm. the other Mr. Handy floating around at the mini golf course.
I would like to fly down to the other Mr. Handy floating around the mini golf course.
Okay, you are going there. Pep and Clark, you're in the first shot. Basically, with the pro shop, what I'm going to allow you to do is, since you found it and there's plenty of stuff here, you can put together a full outfit. Okay? So anything that you think you could get from a golf pro shop, you can put together a full outfit. You can have a golf club, which is going to be the equivalent of like a lead pipe. Okay? And also, you do see that someone had experimented with putting golf cleats in the knuckles of a leather golf glove, making spiked gloves. So I think that that already exists as a weapon in the book. So because everyone found the pro shop, I'm allowing you to put together a full outfit. You can have a golf club, and if you want, you can have spiked gloves. But that's really all there is in the pro shop.
It's the one golf club. I was hoping to take three and keep them together to make a mega golf club.
Also, I was kind of hoping I'd be able to get in there in time to get some of those paisley socks and put like golf balls in them and use it like a flail.
Like a blackjack.
Because, man, that would hurt really bad. Yeah,
we'll come up with something. So write that down. We'll figure out what the stats are for that. But we can definitely come up with the soap and a sock equivalent.
Awesome.
There.
Yes. One in each hand, like nunchucks.
Yeah. Really, the only other thing that you all can do is go outside. And from there, you can see the driving range to your right, the mini golf course on your left, the pond up ahead, and the bunker grill and bar also up ahead. About this time, Lonnie will make it back from his troops after doing the grave detail, and he will round up the Brotherhood of Steel troops to take them over to the miniature golf course. Now, when you look at the miniature golf course, you'll understand why Lonnie wants to take them over there. To the west of the pro shop is a menagerie of plaster animals, buildings, and landmark replicas. The decor adorns a miniature golf course in severe disrepair, scarred by the telltale holes of mole rats. You may be imagining it, but you could have sworn you heard the off-pitch rendition of a pre-war patriotic tune in the distance. Which leads us to Uncle Buck, who makes a very impressive landing next to a Mr. Handy.
Gee, mister, I didn't know people could fly. That's amazing.
Thank you, young sir. My name is Uncle Buck, the savior of America, the champion of this wasteland. How are you doing today, young robot?
I'm Little Chipper, and my dad's Big Chipper, the owner of the South and Islands Par 3 Professional Miniature Golf Course and Pro Shop. Are you here to play some miniature golf?
I'm very concerned about your family. Do you know who your mother is?
Mrs. Chipper.
Yes, I recently put a hole in her and then reactivated her in some method. And she told me that if she doesn't see you, she's going to blow up.
Mom always says that. She's no fun at all.
Do you want your mother to blow up?
I think it's just a figure of speech. I don't think moms actually blow up. Unless you talk to Dad. Dad says Mom blows up from time to time.
When's the last time you saw your mother, young one?
I don't know. Breakfast?
Breakfast? Do robots eat breakfast? Holy crap. Is this a modern machine thing that I just had no clue about? Do you eat lunch? What's a robot snack? Tell me about your robot snacks.
I like lollipops and candy, mister.
Robots eat lollipops and candy. Wow. I mean, you know, they taught us things in the vault, but they didn't teach us this. I mean, America, I mean, the ingenuity behind the inventors. Do you know who your maker is? Who is your maker?
Gee, I don't know much about that religion stuff, mister. What I do know about is the secret of getting a hole in one on hole six.
So you're not concerned about your mother. You're not concerned about your father. You're just concerned about getting a hole in one on the sixth hole of this golf course.
Well, there are 18 holes. I know the secret about number six.
Who has the secrets for the other 17 holes?
Well, maybe I do, mister, depending on how good or bad you're doing. Say, you have any kids I can play with?
No, there are no kids. Your robot age? I mean, frankly, me talking to a robot and having this conversation today, I'm really concerned about you as a child being away from your parents because your parents are going to explode. And frankly, that seems like child negligence to me, and that seems unlawful. Are you aware that you're a part of an unlawful activity, and do you need any help?
Nah, mister, I'm fine. Well, if you're having a good time, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing over here, okay? I hope you have fun. Hole number one's that away if you haven't started yet. And he starts, like, floating away.
Buck's gonna stand there and kind of murmur to himself and be like, I could have had an orphan sidekick. And he flies to hole number one.
As you go to hole one, had to switch there. As you go to hole one, you'll see that the Brotherhood of Steel are sort of assessing the situation, and Lonnie Haybear is motioning them to, you know, take their position, sort of pointing out, ask them to spread out and be aware of their surroundings, all that stuff. As far as the party goes, that was Little Chipper's really the only, like, major thing over at the miniature golf course.
And he knows the secret to hole number six.
Yeah. If you're a kid, he might know the secrets to the other holes, too, so you can get an unfair advantage against the parents.
I feel we're getting close to I need an adult territory here.
Interesting wording.
Every kid knows about every hole. I mean, that's what they... Okay, yeah. No.
In the pro shop.
In the pro shop.
You know, they're selling things.
Yeah.
Is there perhaps maybe a safe of valuables?
If there was anything valuable, it's gone.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. I want a big old driver.
Registers ransacked.
I just want a big old driver then.
Okay. Yeah, so that leaves the bunker, grill, and bar, the pond, and the driving range.
Well, I just picked up a big driver. There's a reason for that.
All right. You going to go to the driving range?
Absolutely. Pep and I are going to have our little competition.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to go get a drink from the bar and grill.
Okay. So you go to the bar
and grill. It's already been a long day.
You go to the bar and grill. We're going to go to the driving range here. To the east of the pro shop is the driving range. Nearest the pro shop, a small unmanned shed houses various and sundry golf clubs and buckets of golf balls. Tee boxes sit nearby, facing the expansive fairway with strategically placed bunkers and greens. Though the fairway is riddled with mole rat holes, breadbox-sized robots maintain an eternal vigil over the lawn, forever grading, watering, fertilizing, and trimming the site. Let's do the long drive challenge.
The long drive challenge.
Yep.
Is the driving range the same? No, the miniature golf has the multiple holes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, it doesn't sound like Hazel's participating. Lonnie's not participating.
Nope. Hazel is going to go get her first drink ever.
All right. So, in the interest of time, we'll just limit this to one drive each. So, basically, the best distance wins. So what you're going to do is you're going to choose your difficulty, okay? And the higher the difficulty you choose, the more damage dice you get to roll, and the more damage dice means the further your ball goes, okay? So a difficulty 5 is for, like, a professional golfer on a good day. All right. And difficulty zero is someone that's just kind of fooling around with a driving iron for the first time in their life. So depending on your technique, your stance, if you want a Happy Gilmore it, what type of club you're using, all those things will factor into like your difficulty. You pick the difficulty, and if you succeed, you get to hit it real hard. Sound good?
Yes. I'm trying to think of the sword equivalent of hitting a golf ball.
Be like the uppercut or something, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
You can slice in golf.
Yeah, you can
slice. Exactly. Good shot.
And if you're a pugilist, you can hook. I mean, so it's...
Right. So what difficulty are you going with, Clark?
Tell you what, both of you roll a d20, and the highest number, since high is bad in this game, the highest number goes first.
Let's see, roll slash...
Slash, okay. Clark with an 8.
Got me an 8.
Not do that right.
Slash R space D20. The slash goes first.
Yes, slash R space D20.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Do it again.
Oh, no. It's hot.
Hit it at the exact same time, and then if they get a critical failure, they hit balls in the air.
All right.
Look at that. Consistency. Mr. Consistency.
All right. So, Pep, what type of difficulty are you looking at?
I'm going with a 3.
A difficulty 3. So you're going to make a strength melee check. Not too high, not too low. Difficulty 3.
All right. Strength. Melee.
One success. That is sort of a kind of attack skill. Well, yeah, you
still didn't do well on three.
That was sort of kind of a whiff.
Tag.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. And here's the thing. I would like to roll a difficulty 4.
Yeah.
But I would like to use 2 AP.
You'd need to use
2 extra die.
You'd need to use 3 AP for die, 2 extra.
Whatever.
Die. Okay.
Yeah. Fine.
All right. You're going to try to crank it here. Got it.
Oh, yes. Okay. I need...
I want to see this, actually.
Four. Drink.
I'm going to get the popcorn. Here. Popcorn.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
Wow.
You also
Yeah, win. Man.
13, 18, 18, and 19. I'm surprised you didn't hit yourself in the teeth.
Golf is Yikes. Hard. Like, hey, I'm going to take another... Pep, you want to try?
There's not a lot
again?
Of crossover here.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Pep, do it again. You know, neither one of us are experienced golfers. I feel like
it's a very new activity. It's a very new activity. Well, would you like to go next?
So, what difficulty were you going for, Pep? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. 3 again.
3. Okay. Yeah, that's a miss, Clark.
I feel like I gotta chill my roll a little bit. I'm gonna go for just difficulty 2. Feeling a bit embarrassed after that.
All right, you get there.
There you go.
So at the top of your character screen, at the top left, you can roll like a raw d20 or the raw damage dice. I want you to roll 21 damage dice.
Holy shit, okay.
All right, 18, 17, 12.
That seems pretty good.
259 yards.
Okay. You know, that's better than whiffing, for certain.
Yep. All right.
For certain.
All right, I'll give y'all a third attempt. Pep, you've got to beat 259 to win.
Hit. All right, Come I will on. Lower my difficulty.
You can drive.
You got nothing.
whiff again. I'm so sorry. Clark.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You are
I want my third.
Oh, take the third swing. Take the third swing.
And I will go for a difficulty 3.
Okay.
And I won't get it. So.
All right. So
259.
As a result, Big Chipper will come over and say,
"Congratulations for winning the long drive challenge. For your efforts, I would like to present to you the Green Seeker."
Okay.
So you now have the Green Seeker. The Green Seeker is a specially designed driver made with mostly depleted uranium in the head of the club, adding significant heft to a small form factor. The Green Seeker, your go-to problem solver on and off the links. This is a melee weapon, 5 damage with radioactive effects, physical damage, 2-handed, 2 weight, cost 140, rarity 3. The radioactive, I think with the, you do 1 radiation damage when you roll an effect.
Okay.
So like you it. Now have that driving iron that Hep was sort of looking for.
Sorry, Hep. Beep.
Hazel, you are at the Bunker Grill and Bar while the boys are driving balls.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It occurs to me that I'm not going to get my first drink in New Orleans. So what do I see in here? Is there anything that looks like it is still drinkable?
Yeah, let's see here. Previously an upscale steakhouse, the Bunker Grill and Bar is a shadow of its former self. Tables and chairs lie broken and scattered about the dining area. The drinking glasses have been shattered. The plate's broken. Behind the bar, an automatron with a calligraphed Francois name tag stands motionless, ventilated with dozens of bullets.
Ooh.
18 beer tap knobs, each matching a hole from the par 3 miniature golf course, stand ready to deliver their delicious payload.
Hmm. So, beer. Beer.
18 on tap.
18 on tap. Oh, I got a bad feeling, but in the interest of brevity, I'm going to randomly roll to decide which one I'm actually going to try and do. Well, I got a 17.
Okay. That one is the iconic gator. You have basically like what appears to be the start of one of those like knobs, but with a gator ingesting it about 80% of the way down. So you're actually grabbing it by the tail when you pull it down. The tap makes a hissing noise. There is nothing coming out.
Well, let me try the one next to it. Number 16.
Okay. This one looks like a, I don't know, a big tree of some type, because my knowledge of interesting things in Louisiana is pretty limited. So this is like a big tree that looks like the whole 16 tree. It makes a hissing noise when you pull it down.
Man.
You try it with the other 16. They make hissing noises when you pull them down.
None
near
of them
near the work. Tap, though, you do see a faucet.
This seems like a terrible idea. I'm definitely going to try it.
Okay. Clear, clean water.
It's pure?
Yes.
There's no radiation.
No radiation.
I can check with radiation. Oh,
Your pit boy is not clicking.
Oh.
Ooh, no.
They've got a built-in water purification here somewhere. Okay, I got to tell the guys. Well, I'm gonna drink the water first.
Yep, it is refreshing. It's not cold, but it's cool.
Okay.
In addition, you can hear a faint humming of some machinery, and it feels like it's below you.
Okay. I am going to turn off the spigot. I'm going to fill another glass. I'm going to turn off the spigot. And I am going to grab a pack of probably stale chocolate-covered peanuts or whatever they have sitting behind the bar, and I'm going to go out and see if I can find the rest of my team.
Okay. Anything edible, the moths have already gotten to.
That's fine. I'll eat moths.
Let's say you all convene at the pond because it's in the middle. So that would be Buck from the mini golf course and Hazel from the bunker and Pep and Clark from the driving range.
Okay.
The centerpiece of the South Nylands Par 3 professional miniature golf course and pro shop is a pond, stagnant from untold years of calm. The nozzles of a water feature protrude from the surface near the center of the pond, offline from disrepair and lack of maintenance. Little more than mosquitoes and unusual plant growth along the waterline make this pond their home.
Hmm.
The plant growth catches your attention, Hazel. No, the regular mosquitoes, not like the massive ones.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, regular mosquitoes are pretty terrible, too. Come on.
Yeah, they're also terrible. The plant growth interests you, Hazel, specifically.
Hmm. That's interesting. Why do I find it interesting?
Because you've seen it before, but not necessarily in this setting. Hmm. You have found bloodroot.
Bloodroot. Oh, that's fantastic. I have a use for that.
Yep. Roll me 4 damage dice. If you go to your character sheet at the top left, you can roll 4 combat dice.
All right. Top of my character sheet, roll 4 combat dice.
You click the one that looks like the D6 damage die, and then it's going to prompt you how many to roll, and you're going to tell it 4.
Okay. And 4 of them. Okay.
Yeah. You get basically 6 servings of bloodroot you're able to harvest.
Excellent.
So you now have 6 bloodroot, and that entry is from the herbalist guide. Mm-hmm. And it can tell you things that you might be able to do with it. The notes I have specifically are that it's a single white bloom. It can be used in certain blends to hide scent. Has antifungal and antiseptic properties. May be used as a rudimentary toothpaste and for skin conditions. It is toxic and must be used sparingly. And it could also be used as a poison.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And can be used as a substitute for blood in rituals that require blood. But not that that really exists.
Okay,
here.
That one's new to me.
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't exist in the game yet.
Buck would like to go up to Clark and be like, hey, so in the vault, don't really know you guys that well. Just kind of woke up one day with these powers out in the wasteland. But anyways, I've heard of there's a thing with beatniks that they go out and pick grass and eat it, and sometimes they smoke it. And I've also heard that they're communists. Is your friend a beatnik?
No, but she's a communist.
Excuse me? Technically, I'm a Chautauqua.
Communist. I don't know.
Hey, I'll have you know.
You know, she used to go around, and instead of people paying her with money, like capitalism, you know, like caps, like capitalism, they would just give her like food, and they would just like share resources and share everything. So I don't know what to make out of that for you.
I'll have you know that Teddy Roosevelt said Chautauquas were the most American of pastimes.
I've heard a lot of great things Teddy Roosevelt did. That time he punched a bull square across America and rode a railroad at light speed, breaking the sound and light barrier together. I mean,
sure.
Amazing man. It's strange to me, though, that you are a communist and know about Teddy Roosevelt.
Again, just to repeat, I have more in common with a school teacher than I do with Karl Marx.
So you really know your stuff. So, like, my favorite Teddy Roosevelt fact, 7-foot vertical leap.
Mm, yeah, there's actually a mutation that will do that for you. It's called a, why do I even know this? All right, Mr. Unless you have frog legs yourself. Wait, all right, stop. We're getting distracted. I came out here to tell you guys something very, very important. There's a water purification chip here.
Great. Where?
Need that.
I think it's underneath the bar and grill because they're completely out of beer, but the water tap does purified water. There's no radiation. It's automatically filtrating it mechanically. I think it's underneath the building. Is they have like a water purification center built into the basement of the building. If we can get that chip, we can get purified water for our settlement, which honestly is probably one of the most important things we could possibly bring back there with us. Although I did kind of, you guys missed it. I did score us a Miss Nanny. She's on the way back to the settlement to help us out there. So, I mean, technically, we do have a plus one now.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
As long as she's not going to explode when she leaves the golf course?
She is not going to explode. She may not put up with your lip, but she won't explode.
I tried to talk to her son and talk some sense into him.
She said, "Don't bother."
Well, he seemed like a real a real one track kind of guy.
Just kept droning on and on and on about America. I mean, golf. Yeah, I know the type.
I mean, should we reprogram Little Chipper?
We could, but
or is that kidnapping?
The thing is, well, did he seem at all self-aware?
No.
Because Mrs. Chipper was most definitely self-aware, and she was basically stuck in hell. The other two Mr. Handys...
They are running on a routine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine here. We could upgrade them if you guys think it'd do any good, but for now, I think...
Extra hands are always good, but... Water purifier first, first part,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, water... Well, also, have we seen any trace of those mole rats we were sent here to eliminate?
You can hear.
Yeah, have we heard any fire?
Yeah, you can hear Brotherhood of Steel. They're kind of tending to the mini golf course, and Lonnie's sort of directing traffic over there. Lonnie's got it sorted.
Okay, perfect. So let's go get that water chip.
Okay. You go into the bunker grill and bar. You all also hear the humming noise when Hazel turns the water on. You can take a sip. This is nice, pure, clean, not radiated water. You can hear the hum underneath the floor somewhere. You figure bars like this probably have a cellar of some type. You're going to have to try to find a door to it, but it appears to be pretty well hidden. I would like for everyone to make a, we'll call it perception... Survival difficulty 2.
Perception and survival difficulty 2. I got a 1.
That's 1. That's 1.
1.
A 0.
And you get 1 AP, GM, if that matters.
Oh, cool.
GM gets 1. So, all right. So we don't see it, but let's think about this logically. They have 18 beer taps. They have to have a room where they stored the actual beer kegs that's cold, and then they would run like hoses. I think this is how they used to do it. They'd run a hose from the kegs to the taps. So all we need to do is figure out where they would easily be able to move these heavy kegs, and that's probably adjacent to the water purification area. So maybe outside of the building, like a loading dock or something?
There is nothing like that outside.
What's the floor made out of?
Wooden planks.
Are our initiates like with us?
They are currently out doing shooting exercises.
Clark, I had the same idea.
Yeah, Clark, you haven't made a check yet, so.
Okay. I had the same idea with Pep, though. It's just going to kind of like, it's just kind of like, bully it.
Yeah.
All right, so perception. Right. Let's try that. I have very bad.
One success.
Yeah. I had the same ideas as Pep, okay. Though.
Yeah, so tell me your alternative ideas to try to find a...
Kind of just getting a piece of metal and start ripping those planks on up.
Yeah, see if there's a weak or loose like floorboard to see if it's on where we can pull up one, see what's underneath it, because who knows, maybe it's just more
another competition of strength, Pep.
Yeah,
I feel like you've got a weapon that would be very good for busting up wooden floorboards.
Yeah, give me strength melee or strength repair. Difficulty one.
Well, it's F. Melee.
Oh.
Three successes. Ooh,
when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Couple AP right there. Okay.
You are successful. And Pep, you are also successful because there's a big swath of like wood you have to deal with here. You do beat around a lot of stuff. I'd like for both of you to take one damage as sort of like fatigue of like hitting hard wood sort of like sets in. You're going to have some sore muscles and stuff. You are able to find a doorway because you end up hitting something that's like not concrete foundation and is a bit hollow underneath. Once you crack that door open and crack the doorway and open it, you see a ladder that leads down into an actual bunker. You know, this was the bunker Grill and Bar. You didn't realize that there's an actual bunker underneath.
A bunker.
You climb down into a well-hidden basement, seemingly untouched by the ravages of time. On one side of the room, a cage protects a functioning water purifier and stacks of kegs, many of which are hooked to tubing, which runs to the ceiling of the room. On the other side of the room, what appears to be a workshop is cluttered with drawn plans and mechanical experiments. The primary project, a dormant fusion engine hooked to dozens of heavy electrical cables with subterranean destinations.
Bingo.
So there's a cage around the water purifier?
Yeah, it's like a simple, chain link, like fence type thing, basically to keep, you know, people from like messing with it if they came down here. There's a rudimentary lock that's like keeping it locked.
Sounds like an easy problem for some laser vision.
I would like to run my hand through the chain link, whatever. I would like to run my hand through the cage.
Run your hand through the cage?
Like, pa-pow. Like, put a hole in there so we can get that water chip, you know?
Oh, okay. Make me a strength.
Naturally.
Unarmed.
What difficulty was it?
I was about to call it two, so two is fine. Yep. In lieu of going at the point of easiest failure, you just punch through the chain link, and you keep punching it until effectively the door no longer functions. You now have access to the kegs and the water purifier chip, so the water purifying machine. The short version is you're able to take out the water purifier chip, and it should be compatible with whatever machinery that you get for the Rising Sun settlement. Congratulations, you have the water purifier chip.
Woo-hoo!
In addition, the majority of the kegs down here are hooked up to hoses. There are a few that are not. So Uncle Buck, do me the honors and roll me a d20. One of these kegs is still full. It is a Baton Rouge IPA.
Buck kind of, I guess, spies that and says, you know, the real American thing to do here is to throw this keg in the pond. That's what the founding fathers would want for this keg. I'm assuming you all agree.
So I have a suggestion. Maybe throw one of the empty kegs in the pond, because usually you would throw the keg in after you'd had it already. Or there might be some tea upstairs. If you want, you can throw some tea bags in the pond if it makes you feel better.
Buck, are you suggesting that our country was wrong when it removed prohibition? Are you trying to tell me that America got it wrong? That doesn't sound very. That sounds almost communist to me.
You know, when the president President George Washington II removed prohibition, it was a very divisive time in America, and most people that drank alcohol were under the influence of communism.
Are you saying the president got it wrong?
You know what you sound like, Buck? You sound like an anarchist to me.
Yeah, you kind of sound traitorous to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Buck kind of like flares in the eye, but is also like kind of like in a confused rage at this realization that maybe what he was told was a little bit contradictory.
Don't worry, Buck. We'll get you sorted out. But you can definitely throw the empty kegs. We support you.
Buck takes an empty keg and just like chucks it at a wall that there's nothing on that he can't hurt.
And while Buck is having a temper tantrum, over in the there are several things on this table. First of which is a device. It kind of looks like the business end of a leaf blower without like the nozzle. Okay. There's like a fan, there's a throttle, and there's a hopper at the top that's like a big, almost like funnel, and it is full of golf balls. And if you turn this thing on, you can start to feel like this gyroscope inside start to spin up, like to the point where it's sort of hard to handle. It's kind of like a fidget spinner. Like when you get one going, it sort of like fights motion a little bit. And when you push the button, it fires a golf ball so hard it kind of leaves a dent in the wall. Congratulations, you have discovered the albatross.
So let me get this straight. They turned a golf ball returning mechanism into a golf ball firing minigun.
Sort of. It's like it works like a centrifuge. The Albatross is a custom-made golf ball launcher originally designed to work in coordination with a fluorescent advertisement at the South and Ireland's Par 3 Professional Miniature Golf Course and Pro Shop. Launching golf balls in excess of 250 miles per hour, the projectiles have a consistent pattern, even at long ranges. The Albatross can accept stock mods and sight mods. This is a small gun, 4-damage physical, long-range two-handed.
Small gun. Okay.
Yeah, it's I didn't want to make weapon. It a big gun, but like the damage offsets the fact that it's a small gun.
Okay.
In addition, there are plans nearby that make it look as though this might only be a small-scale model of the Albatross.
Ooh.
With models to eventually scale this up to something that was like several meters tall and like launching, turret? You know, much larger projectiles.
Like a turret.
Basketball.
I like.
Also,
oh, man.
There are documents here suggesting that this entire facility was designed to be an electrified Faraday cage to protect against EMPs and other outside threats.
Whoa. Like the entire building or the entire golf
course? Course was covered Whoa. In this netting, tightly that, woven and interwoven with like copper and whatnot.
So the netting isn't just protective against golf balls, it's actually a Faraday cage.
Yes. You imagine that the big fusion engine here and all the electrical cords going subterranean are what power it.
I think the Brotherhood of Steel is going to be very interested in the place.
Unless you don't tell them.
I think we should take it.
Well, what are we going to do with it, though?
Power stuff.
What? Yeah. So it's basically
the
whole a supplement.
Thing is a bit large to take is the problem. Like, it's got to stay here, but you know that it is here.
So we can run. Can we? Is it feasible to start the power generating here and then have it power? Have the power run to where we are at Rising Sun?
That is way too far.
But it's good to have this in our pocket if we ever need to relocate Rising Sun or start a second settlement.
We have a superhero. Can he just, like, pick it up?
Yeah, can I, like, try to, like, fly up and be, like, a little ghost with a really incredible long tail? Like, you know when you put the little kid in the ghost outfit? And they're like, you know, it's tasseling everywhere. It's going all over the ground. It's like, imagine that. But like, it's just like this like lifting mechanism that like, I'm painting a picture here.
I'm not following your picture. I'm not following it.
And you're still wearing red, white, and blue a golf outfit.
Like a strength plus
magic.
Oh, what do we call this? We'll call it strength plus athletics, difficulty 57.
Wow.
Difficulty 57.
I didn't stutter.
I'm sure it's fine.
It's rude.
Wow.
Two successes. It doesn't budge.
It's
as though it's not going to budge. It's pretty well here. It's going to take a lot more effort to relocate this. But yeah, basically this entire place is covered with like basically Faraday cage. So you've got what you set out to do. The last thing I'd like everyone to do is to go ahead and roll me a D20. Because it's going to determine how your fire team did on their mole rat hunt.
Oh boy.
Oops, I rolled a one, but I don't have a fire team, so.
You don't have a fire team.
Maybe that's how Little Five. Chipper ended up in the end, you know?
Go. Okay.
All right, so Pep got a five. Oh, Clark got a one.
Oh, baby.
Oh, no.
They're
scared he's going to kill another one of them.
We needed this for Brett. They went out there. They went out there. Their comrade they had seen get cleaved in two, and he took it to heart. The other two, honestly, they kind of feel like followers, and they just went out there and they did it, Brett. They really did it.
Right.
My team rolled a 19.
Okay, so Lonnie
shoot
probably
makes sense. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Lonnie needs to roll
here. If I just have one person on my team left alive, I'll be happy.
3 + 8 +
You didn't call your weak.
4 + 1. All right. So, whoever's keeping tabs of inventory, between everyone, they collect 16 units of mole rat meat and 16 common materials. We'll start with Clark. Critical success, your team performs flawlessly, avoiding any injuries and hitting every shot with precision. They get a bunch from their butchery. Pep, a minor success. They avoid injury, but their marksmanship leaves much to be desired. They got 4 mole rat meat and 4 common materials.
I'm proud of my team.
Good. Mixed result for Lonnie's fire team. They got 3 mole rat meat and 3 common materials. Hazel with a 19, that's a major failure. Your fire team is ambushed by mole rats. We're going to roll 8 damage and split them between the five members of your fire team. I will go ahead and roll that.
Okay.
So that's 7 damage split between your fire team. So we'll just call it like 2 each. So they're still in fairly good shape, all things considered.
Okay. They had a rough go at it.
Yeah,
don't worry,
but
Team Clark came over and helped you out after that.
Yeah, Clark's team is like absolutely the goat here.
Okay. So, in conclusion, pack everything up, all this Yagua meat, all this mole rat meat. Your fire team members got some experience that they needed. Some of them aren't coming back. Rip in peace, Brett. But you load up the
he's Maybelline. The weak link. He was holding him back.
You load up Maybelline with your acquired goods and the knowledge of what you found at the South Lawlands Par 3 Miniature Golf Course and Pro Shop. And you head north back to the Rising Sun Settlement. And when it comes time to split, Lonnie will take the initiates back to Old Nolens and Poseidon Power Plant, back to the Brotherhood of Steel Base. And the remainder will drive off after having a hard day at the golf course.
Tune in next time on Rad Rolls.
Hi, Jared here. On behalf of the Rad Rolls crew, I sincerely hope you are enjoying the series. If you've seen Modiphius' Fallout 2D20 book, you know it's an absolute unit. Podcasts like Rad Rolls offer an opportunity to learn the rules by listening to them being acted out by players and a GM who, in truth, may only have a marginal grasp upon the rules themselves. Dirty little secret, I know. However, little by little, every session, every combat, every failed check turned success, everyone at the table learns a bit more about the game, and by extension, so does the listener. Dave and I will be putting together a little rules discussion series. For those of you who have been looking for that deep dive, want to talk about some math, or maybe you're interested in how the sausage is made, this will be your opportunity. Stay tuned for more details, and we hope to see you there.